he knew I was coming. He knew, and his eyes lit up, and he gave me a big hug. And I thought to myself, man, I'm not in Pennsylvania anymore. So true, so true. Let's pray as we come to the Word this morning. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to know that we can learn from you and be in relationship with you and know that our lives are being transformed into the likeness of your Son. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you are doing that work in us through your Spirit, through your Word. I pray that you would speak to us, that we would know that you met with us this morning. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you. It's been great being here for 4.5 years. I've enjoyed the journey. It has been a true pleasure to be your pastor, a true pleasure to be a part of this. This church has seen me through some of the most interesting part of my life. And I've also grown tremendously as a pastor, as being a part of you. And I appreciate that. I've learned things that I needed to learn. I've been a senior pastor. I was here for 5 years earlier. I was a small groups pastor. And yet, in this relationship, this season of life, we launched our kids while we were here over the last 4.5 years. Both of our kids got married. My dad went to be with Jesus while we were here. So there's been this stretch of our lives has been momentous, and yet, you've embraced me as a pastor, and that has been awesome, and I appreciate that. So something strange has happened over the last 6 months, and I alluded to it a little bit in that conversation with George, and my life has changed. And a lot of that, I would like to tell you, is a result of time spent with Jesus. We are starting a new chapter of our lives. So is Hershey Free Church. We are going from what I would say would be comfortable. We are very comfortable here. We know people. We know our way around. We've got all of our kind of our life in order. It's very much so a place where we know where to go to get everything we need. We have doctors. We have, you know, and then you all of a sudden you go, okay, all of that's done. And now you're moving. And we're going to move from our house to a one-bedroom apartment. The last time you and I had a one-bedroom apartment was a long time ago. We are moving from what is comfortable to uncomfortable, which is both frightening and exciting all at the same time. We're going from the known to the unknown. We're going from what is clean to a mess. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that God's directed, God's moved, God's allowed us the opportunity. And it is a process to think that somewhere you think you were going to live indefinitely, to all of a sudden it's done in a month, and that's a shift. That's a quick turnaround. And quite honestly, I am stunned to some degree. I don't know if it's fully settled on me or Lori, unless we talk about it when we're packing, right? Then it truly is real. Well, in this transition, I have been, because of the transition, and because of the moments of just change, I've been living with Jesus more. And in my relationship with Jesus, I'd like to tell you that I always live with Jesus like this. But there's something about change. There's something about transition. There's something about uncomfortable. There's something about things not being quite right that forces me into a deeper, abiding, fuller relationship with Jesus. I spent more time with him. And what it did was it revealed to me some of the quirks that I have in my relationship with him. Well, I used to have a relationship with a Mazda Tribute, my car. It was a five-year relationship, and that five-year relationship was terminated when I sold it to my son. His Volkswagen Jetta. Don't ever buy a Volkswagen Jetta. No, I'm just kidding. His Volkswagen Jetta died, and so he needed a car. He needed one quickly, so I sold him my Mazda. Mazda Tribute looks a lot like a Ford Escape. And I had learned to live with the quirks of that car because I liked the car. And so there were a few things that were wrong with it that I tried to convey to him, but some of them missed in the handoff of the car. And one of the things that's quirky about the car is it only had one knob for the radio. And so if you turn it on with one and you want to do something with the other, so you have to move the knob from one side to the other side. Which was fine with me. Apparently, it's not fine with him. Another quirk was that when it rains really hard, the driver's side door leaks and it gets onto the seat. So I always kept a towel underneath the seat of the driver's side so I could sit on it when it rained really hard. I forgot to communicate that. And so he's had a few days of wet butt. It also leaked a little bit of oil, so I always put down a piece of cardboard in my garage and then also carried a quart of oil with me. He's picked that one up pretty quickly. And then the last quirk with the car, I think I forgot to tell him this, is that periodically, and it's random, the back hatch doesn't unlock to open. So he put a bunch of stuff in there and went to open it, and it wouldn't open because it just doesn't unlock. And there's no place to unlock it with a key. It's all electronic. And so all that stuff is stuck in there. I said, you know, it sometimes takes a couple days. It unlocks. It's a quirk. It's one of those things you just learn to live with. I just never locked the doors anymore because I never had anything in there of value. But it's what happens when you live with something over a period of time. You get used to things. You grow accustomed. You live with them. You just have a towel underneath the seat. You just have a quart of oil in the back. You just stop locking the doors. You move a knob back and forth on the radio. It's just what you do. And yet, in our relationship with Jesus, when we live with Jesus, oftentimes there's quirks that we do that we need to change, that we need to fix, that need to be different. And as I've been living with Jesus over the last several months, there's things that come to mind. There's things that I am reminded of that I slip into that are, and they're not quirks, they're flaws. They are problems. They are relational problems. And the first is this. The first that I realized over and over again, and I am very much so prone to this, is I'm inconsistent. I am inconsistent when I live with Jesus. And what I mean by that is that I don't take as much time as I should. Now, when I'm in transition and life seems to be uncomfortable, I'm very consistent. But when life is just kind of normal and comfortable, I have a tendency to get inconsistent because largely due to the fact that I slip into a complacency in the relationship. I don't know if you do that. But if you do that, I'm inviting you into a deeper relationship today. The second thing that I realized was one of my quirks is I slip into a performance mode relationship with God. And what I mean by that is that this is an ongoing struggle for me. It's been an ongoing struggle with me for better part of my life, is that I view my value and my lovability to others and to God based upon how well I perform at multiple things, whether it's just being the best pastor I can be, or just how I treat others, or even how I help around the house. My lovability is, and then I translate that into my relationship with God. And when I live with Jesus, I more and more I realize he's not concerned about my performance. He loves me the same. And so the more I spend time with Jesus, the more I realize, I keep slipping into, if I just perform better, if I do better, he'll love me more and he'll bless me more. And that's just a false thinking. It's a lie. That's one of my personal quirks. And it becomes revealed to me as I spend time with him. He reminds me that the mindset has to go. The last one is I'm just very, very independent. I'm an independent person. I'm an independent thinker. And I try to live life by myself. And it's a problem because I don't include Jesus enough in the little things of life. And I want him to be a part of everything in my life. And living with someone is, in essence, inviting them into living every aspect of our life. So there's a revealing. There's a, as I spend time, I realize, oh, I've missed something. I've got glitches, I've got problems, and I need to keep moving towards Jesus to weed them out. And I usually recognize this, and I can tell when things are not quite right in my relationship with Jesus is a reflection of my prayer life. And my prayer life, I wish I could stand up here and tell you, I'm a prayer warrior. I just, you know, I find time in the closet, and I pray continually in great lengths of time, and I'm not. I pray throughout the day as though I'm having a relationship day in, day out, moment by moment with Jesus. My prayer life is just oftentimes an ongoing conversation with Jesus. See, when I was younger and a younger pastor, I thought prayer had to be these long moments, these long drawn out conversations. And what I've realized about me as a person, now there's nothing wrong with those things, and I encourage you, if you can do them, do them. It builds intimacy with Jesus. For me, my mind does not focus for more than 5 minutes. Dead serious. And it's difficult for me to remain focused. And so when I would try to do that, my mind would wander into all kinds of places. I'm blocking out 20 minutes to pray. And 5 minutes in, I'm somewhere else. I'm in a different planet. I'm thinking about other things. And then what happens to me is a deep conviction that I am a lousy Christian because I can't pray for more than 5 minutes. And so what I've learned about myself and what I've learned about my relationship with God, there are people that can go and pray for hours. I'm not one of them, and I'm okay with it now. Jesus loves me. But I have deep prayer times with Jesus that last 5 minutes. And I have them often and sequentially throughout the day. I had to learn that about myself. That's my relationship with Jesus. It's different. And as I was younger, I had to learn that that was okay. I had to grow through that. I had to come to a place where that was a reality for me. Over the last several months, it has become clear to us that we were in transition. And over these last months, I was the skeptic. I was the one that didn't think that anything would come of us ever moving to Nashville. I didn't know anyone. I had no connections there. There are no free churches there. And what I knew of Nashville was there was a whole lot of big Southern Baptist churches. And I didn't want to go to a Southern Baptist church. Sorry, George. But just so you know, George has got Southern Baptist roots. So that's one of our ongoing. But I had connections there. I had a son who lived there. We have friends who live there. But also, God worked in an amazing way to bring about a call to Franklin. And with that, to Journey Church, I cannot even begin to tell you how odd the process was that got us there. It doesn't matter. What matters is that as we worked through the process with Franklin Church, it was very, very, very clear that God was in it. And God was calling us. I don't know how many times I said to Lori, this is a match that I couldn't have made. This is a match that doesn't happen. This is a match that in many ways is just God made. And it's shocking. And God was working. And this opportunity, in essence, fell out of the sky. And now we, collectively, are in the process of all that is involved with moving. We have to sell our house. And in selling our house, we had to look at our house differently. I don't know. You live in a house for 15 years. Pretty soon, everything looks the same. You walk in, and the pictures are the same. You put your furniture in the same places. My kids even said, you don't ever move the furniture. And now it's moved. It's all over the place. It's staged differently. We had a realtor look at it, and it looks totally different. And it's like living in somebody else's house. But yet it's our house, and it's got a ton of memories. And there's this mixed emotions that go on with moving it. But what happens when you grow familiar with a relationship or even a house or a car, you have a tendency to take things for granted. You have a tendency to walk through them without thinking through all that it's involved. And when you are living with Jesus, and if you've been living Jesus for a long time, sometimes you put your relationship with him into autopilot. And you fail to see the little changes you could make to improve the relationship. It is why many times when I talk to couples who are going through some difficulty in their marriage, they fail to see the changes that they need to make. They see the changes that the other person needs to make, but they fail to see the changes that they need to make in order for the relationship to get better. And there is a similar thing that happens in our relationship with God. It is we get accustomed to, this is how I relate to God, and so, and God is saying, no, there's more. There's more than we can, and yet we get comfortable, and to be pushed into what is uncomfortable becomes, I have to change. And really, living with Jesus is an essence, in essence, a process of change. It's a reclamation of the heart. It's a transformation of life. And I want to ask you this question this morning. What are some of the things in your life, just like I was just got accustomed to driving my Mazda the way it was, just like I got accustomed to living in my home, and just like I got accustomed to living with Jesus, what are some of the things when you are living with Jesus that you just put on autopilot, that you take for granted? What are some things that you are just blind to? And sometimes this is difficult. And the question we're asking this morning is, what keeps you from living with Jesus? Not just visiting, but living with Jesus. This is going to be written on the chalkboard in the reflection room, which used to be the connecting point. And if you walk in there and you think of something, I encourage you to take a moment, write it on there, and I'll get to that in a little more detail in a moment. Is there something you find yourself in your life making excuses for why your relationship with Jesus is merely surface, and you're not really living with him? And I ask you that question with this in mind. You know, I've asked people this question, and these are some of the responses I get, or some of the things that are going through their mind, some of the things that could be said. And usually the first I hear from guys is, my job is just demanding. Okay, your job is demanding. Your kids are all-consuming. I don't have time for it now. I will get to it when I get older. I'll have a richer relationship with Jesus when I get older. Maybe in your heart of hearts, you're sitting there going, it doesn't really interest me. I'm not really interested in having a deeper, abiding relationship with Jesus. And maybe you're sitting there going, I don't know how to have a richer living with Jesus experience. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, I'm just happy I got to church today. And maybe you're thinking, this isn't part of the deal that I made with Jesus when I placed my faith in him. Maybe your ideal of living with Jesus relationship is that he's just one who comes and rescues me when I have a problem. And it's not an everyday thing. Usually I can handle things on my own. And therefore, I don't want to tax my relationship with Jesus. All of these are glitches, are things we don't see, or even if we do acknowledge them, we don't know what to do with them. But in John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives us a clear picture of what this relationship needs to look like. And I want to push you a little bit to ask yourself the question, what is it that keeps me from living with Jesus? And I am going to read John 15, 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It's a key phrase. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's a description of a relationship is what it is. It's a description done in agricultural terms where Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener, and we are the disciples or the branches, and we must remain connected. It is a relationship that is cemented in this idea of nourishment. It is the idea that in this relationship, we are dependent on the vine. If you're not connected to the vine, then we're describing that here as living with Jesus. If you're not living with Jesus, you're missing the whole idea of what it means to bear fruit. And it's missing the idea of bearing real fruit. Many of us would be able to produce, in many ways, artificial fruit. And what I mean by that is whether or not I'm connected to the vine, I know what to say, and I know to be kind, and I know that I should love people, and I know these things. And so out of my flesh, I do that. And that is not what is intended here. It's not intended that you muster up enough of your goodness within you that you can be good to people. That's not what he's describing here. Those actually are the branches that get cut off because there's no need for the vine. The branches that he's describing are the ones that are in relationship and such a relationship that they are completely and utterly dependent on the vine for the fruit that they produce. And their very existence, you and I can do nothing if we are separated from the vine. Nothing. Now, in essence, you know that that's not true, right? Or is it true? See, in the context, it's about our spiritual lives. It's about the transformation of life. It is about what we produce, what ultimately is put before God as the product of our lives. And if we're disconnected from the vine, we have nothing to offer. Nothing. There is a relationship here, and it's described in a way that oftentimes we miss when we read this passage of Scripture. When we read this passage of Scripture, we read it through its allegory, we read it through, and we get to verses 7 and 8. And 7 and 8, I believe, are the key verses here, and they're in your bulletin. They're also going to be up on the screen, but it says this, and oftentimes these words are taken out of context, and they are moved and used for purposes never meant. It says this: if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And some people take verse 7, they pluck it out of the Bible and they go, look, I can ask whatever I wish and it will be done for me. And it gets twisted into this turning God into a genie. It's not what this passage is saying. Don't read that and go, oh, I can do that. There's an if statement here. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. There is an essence of, as I live with Jesus and as I abide with him and I have relationship with him and I'm connected to the vine, what ends up happening is the relationship cements what I ask for. And then verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Connect the dots. As you go down through, it will be done for you. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, as followers of Christ, we ultimately put on display Christ. As we live with him and are transformed into his likeness, the fruit of our lives glorify the Father, just like Jesus glorifies the Father. It's relational. It is abiding. It is conversation. The fruit is the evidence of how we're doing with living with Jesus. And he says in verse 7, remain in me and my words remain in you. It is essential. It is unbelievably not optional. It is for the believer to be in God's word, to be a person of the word, to be reading it, listening to it, studying it, being exposed to it, having it penetrate our lives and our heart is essential. Because what he's saying here is, this is how you hear from me. You hear from me through your word. We believe that we have God's word, and the complete God's word is right here in my hands. It's available in forms that it's never been. It's unfettered. It's available to you on your phone. I didn't bring my phone up here. It's available to you on your computer. It's available to you on Sirius FM. It is available to you in every possible nook and cranny of our culture. But yet, we don't hear from God. Because we become comfortable. I have an annoying habit in relationships that I have with people when I have conversations. See, our living with Jesus should be a ongoing dialogue and conversation between us and God. He speaks to us through his word. We pray. He speaks to us. He reveals things. He transforms our heart. The word of God is like a double-edged sword. It pierces and changes and transforms us. It cuts us to the quick. It teaches. It corrects. It does all of those things, and it moves us. But we have to be engaged with it, and we have to be able to pray it back. And in this living with Jesus relationship, the more we do that, the more he transforms, the more he cultivates, the more he shapes, the more he moves our hearts. But it's an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing dialogue. And we hear from him. And oftentimes my problem is I can't wait to hear. And if you've known me for any period of time, if you've had a conversation with me, and I've apologized to George a million times, I probably apologize to my wife trillions of times for this. They will start a sentence, and in the middle of that sentence, I know where it's going, and I'll jump in before the sentence is over and finish the sentence. I'm right maybe 25% of the time. And the next thing, when I was younger, I would be like, oh, I had that. But as I get older, I just apologize. I'm sorry. And I am sorry. I do that. See, and my quirk in my relationships with people translates into a quirk with my relationship with God. And God speaks to me, and I finish his sentences. Dear. Because I'm not patient enough to let him finish. See, communication with God, there's a moment of stillness. God doesn't shout over many times what you're listening to. See, he doesn't, and he'll let me finish the sentence and say, yeah, no. But what you find in your interpersonal relationships and your communication within your interpersonal relationships, you will find it is true in your relationship with God. And probably exaggerated. Because to hear from God takes time. To hear from God takes quiet. To hear from God takes patience. And I don't know how you're doing with that. But when I'm in transition and God is moving me and he's putting me in a place of uncomfortable, I find time to listen. I wish I could do better when things are going well and I'm comfortable. And so he invites us into this relationship. And he says, you know, yeah, you got your quirks, you got your problems, this relationship, but ultimately the reason for the relationship is described here. It is to bring glory to God, but it also is to bring us into a place of abundant life, an abundant life that produces fruit, a life that only can produce fruit as we are connected to the vine. And so the invitation is come, get in relationship with Jesus, live with Jesus. Let him tell you what needs to change. Let him do a reclamation of your heart. And here are some of the options or reasons why we don't do this. And for many of us, it's just as simple as I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. I'm tired when I slow down. I just don't have time for listening, let alone relating to God. I just want a sleeper veg or watch TV. And I would say to you, follower of Christ, fight for your time. Don't passively fall into a, I'm too busy, I can't do this. Don't let the things of this life trap you into believing that you cannot have an intimate relationship with God. You can. But don't make the excuse that you don't have time, because you do. Maybe you think it's just not a priority. It's not a priority. I have time in my life. Actually, I got all kinds of time. I would just rather do something else with my time. And that is the essence. That is the essence of the struggle. Is the way that a good relationship works is it becomes a priority. I want to step into this relationship. I want to be friends. I want to spend time. I want to engage my wife in meaningful conversation. But that takes a separation from I'd rather do this, or I want to do this, or this is available to me, and I step into this relationship and I lean into it because it's a priority. It's of extreme value to me. See, if it's not of extreme value to you, to me, we won't step into it. And then the third thing is, I'm not sure I want what he's offering. And what I mean by that is if I really step into this relationship, if I lean into living with Jesus and I spend time with him and his word starts to speak to my heart, you know what? He may just make me do something I don't want to do. He could send me to Africa. He could send me to the Middle East. He could make a missionary out of me. See, here's the thing. See, when you step into the relationship and you get crafted and molded and you spend time with Jesus and the priority rises and your heart gets changed, he may just give you the desire of his heart, his heart. And use you in ways that are absolutely stunning and amazing. I can testify to that. I never dreamed for a million years when I was a kid that I'd ever stand in front of a group like this and tell you about Jesus. But God got a hold of me. And quite honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a fun way to live in relationship with Jesus because the ride is amazing. But the peace that you get from being in relationship with Jesus makes the thrill of the ride so much more fun. I ask again, what keeps you from living with Jesus? What keeps you from a deep and abiding communication? What would you write on the board back there? If God is speaking to you right now and he said, look, I want to have deeper and abiding relationship with you, and he stepped into it and he leans into it and he whispers in your ear, you're holding on to bitterness in your life. You must forgive people. If that's what's keeping you from having an abiding relationship, a living with Jesus relationship, then write it on the board back there. You don't have to put your name on there. There is something about confession. There's something about writing something down. It's something about that comes out of you that God can work with. I've said it out loud. Maybe it is I'm afraid. I'm just afraid of the wild life that I could end up with. It's not a wild life when you're abiding with Jesus. It's an amazing life when you're abiding with Jesus. The invitation to live with Jesus moves us to places where we begin to recognize my life would be better if I could just let go of some of the things that bind me. My upward trajectory in my career, the money that I've accumulated, the amount of anxiety that I have with for my life, for my children, for my country. If I could just let go of that. Because abiding with Jesus, living with Jesus, just changes my whole view of life. My whole view of engaging the world, because now I'm connected to the vine, the nourishment comes, I'm pruned by the Father, and I bear fruit which glorifies the Father. It's totally different. There's something about being in relationship with Jesus that changes everything. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to worship. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to express the gratitude of our heart. We're going to reflect back to God what we think. And as he's spoken to us, he will speak to you in these songs. He will speak to you through his word. He will speak to you through the people around you. He is alive and he's active and he loves you more than you love yourself. He loves you more than you love your kids. And he died for you. He wants relationship with you. And in that relationship, he's saying, come to me. I want to live with you. And what is it that's keeping you from it? And as you worship, as you sing, and as you express praises to God, hear from him. Hear, I'm missing these things. These are quirks in my relationship. These are things I'm failing to see. These are things I need to give up. These are things that need to be transformed in me. And as you do that, and as you are worshiping, pray, spend time, see if you can hear, see if God is speaking to you. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this passage tells us that his words remain in us. And as you know his word, he will speak to you. He will. It's not mystical. If what you're hearing me say is mystical, it's not. But it is transforming. He wants you to abide with him. He wants you to live with him. We're going to sing a few songs. I think we're going to sing three. And then I want to come up and close the service and give you some parting thoughts as we go our way. But let me pray and we'll sing. Oh, yes. And I am going to pray for the offering. And the ushers are going to come forward to take the offering this morning. Thanks, Bob. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this morning. You are amazing. You work in amazing ways. You are the vine, Jesus. And God, you are our gardener. And we want to be connected to you in such a way that we bear fruit. And Lord, I pray right now that there's anybody in this room that doesn't get that you speak to them right now. I pray that all the excuses we put on the table for not spending time with you and living with you would be revealed. That we would put them on the table in front of you. That we would hear from you. That we would communicate with you. That we would sing your praises and find ourselves awed once again by you. And as we're awed by you, may you change us into your likeness and may your spirit indwell and may we pay attention. May we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.